it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It's the Pompey Pubcast that combines the beers and the blues.
Barros for Pompey, round Kuchar goes down, penalty to Pompey with an old Trafford. Barros tripped by Thomas Kuchar, who sent off Lantari do the job. He steps up, left footed, scores for Pompey. They lead at Old Trafford in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Jamal Lowe's onside, the flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, fantastic, brilliant. Portsmouth Football Club are promoted to League One.
Curtis across the face, a goal. Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock! Parker with a heading back to Wembley!
This is Three Lads in the Pub.
Episode 16 of Three Lads in the Pub. We are coming to you this week from Glastonbury. No, we're at the Shepherd's Crook on this Sunday night with some live music on. It is about to finish. So hopefully you can hear what we're saying. It's coming through loud and clear here. Good evening, Jeff Harris.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you? No, I'm good. I'm all good. Ryan, how are you doing, mate?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, getting on with it.
Good stuff. Right, beers at a Shepherd's Crook. Always goes down well. I've got a Madry, Jeff.
Madry.
Yeah, Madry for Jeff. And Ryan?
I've got a Guinness in a John Smith's glass. So it's a good drink, but I'm not sure if an ethical crime has been committed.
You got a sensory overload. You don't know. You don't know what you're drinking.
I've got an Irish drink in the most Brexit glass possible.
But some good choices as ever around the table. So let's get stuck in then. Obviously, sorry for the week off we had. Unfortunately, life does get in the way sometimes. Been a bit hectic. But let's start then with Derby. I mean, for starters, I said before, it's on the TV. It's going to be shit. What was your views on it, Ryan?
The reaction to Derby was one of people who haven't watched our previous games. When you actually look at the Derby game over the 90 minutes, that was not the worst performance Pompey put in over the last month. We were far worse at Morecambe and deserved far less than what we got at Morecambe. Round of applause for Mama Bell, the support act to Three Lads in the Pub. They're only here for us, really. But yeah, we were far worse at Morecambe than we were at home to Derby. We were worse against Charlton. We were worse against Forest Green. We were worse against Oxford. We were probably slightly less than that against Shrewsbury. We actually got at Derby very well. Like, we asked them questions. The one major flaw in the Derby game, and this is where I can't say our performance was too good, you do not get that much praise in a football game if it takes you 92 minutes to have a shot on target.
No.
Now, for the amount that we got around Derby, over Derby, through Derby, for the amount that we shut Derby out after half an hour, like, what were McGoldrick and Co. doing after half an hour? They didn't sniff us out in the second half at all. So it was actually, across the board, a fairly competent performance compared to Morecambe, Oxford, FGR, Charlton. But you're not going to get that much praise because it took you 92 minutes to get a shot on target, which was a P-roller from Mingy. So I saw signs of improvement against Derby, but I'm not going to call it a good performance because there's only one objective in a football game: to score goals. And you ain't going to score if you don't get shots on target.
Exactly. And it was... I would say it's a steady point.
Yeah.
Nothing more than that. You know, you kind of middle-of-the-road performance. 92 minutes to have one shot on target is not acceptable.
No.
And
especially considering the opportunities we got into.
Yeah, and you know, I get people's grievance about that performance. On any other day, in any other, you know, month, a point against Derby isn't a bad result.
Considering where we've been, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but given the recent run of form, 5 draws out of 8, I think it is, in the league. One shot on target, like you said, 92nd minute. That's... It's just a below par performance. And it's the... Look, I've long said I don't think Scarlett and Bishop can play out top. And it's quite interesting what Danny Cowley said about Piggott and Bishop, that they occupy the same space. Well, they didn't occupy the same space first game of the season at Sheffield Wednesday.
No.
They haven't occupied the same space when Piggott set up Bishop in those early games before Scarlett came into the team. So I'm not buying into that. I don't subscribe to Danny Cowley's synopsis of they occupy the same space. And in the games when Piggott has come on 10, 15 minutes ago and Bishop's up top, it's Piggott who drops into the hole and Bishop's the more advanced striker. So I really don't get that comment. And we were just, like I said, we were below par on against Derby.
Yeah, and I think it goes to show how bad Morecambe was, that Derby was an improvement when it was below par.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Morecambe was probably, outside of the last half an hour, Morecambe for that first 60 minutes was among the worst 60 minutes of football I've watched under Danny Cowley. And again, a lot of the guys that started that game were, you know, starting players. Ogilvy started that game, Robertson started that game, Raggett started that game, Pack started that game, Bishop started that game, Scarlett started that game. That wasn't the... Dale started that game. That wasn't the, you know, the much changed 11. You're talking about 7-8 guys played at Morecambe, and it was some of the worst I've seen for Pompey under Cowley. And yet Derby was still better than that.
That Derby game could have been totally different if McGoldrick's shot had gone in.
I know,
Josh Griffiths had given that up.
Yeah.
Now he has, don't get me wrong, he's put some top spin on that and the ball's dipped at the last minute. But Griffiths gave up on that as soon as it was hit. Didn't even make a concerted effort to get across and say, I'm going to cover this just in case. Because he was in, well, there was no way he'd get to it anyway if that was on target. Because that was going top corner.
I expected that to go into the net. Yeah. I thought that was an unbelievable strike and he got unlucky with it.
I think that was one of them goals, right? The rare goals that scored at Fratton Park where you probably would have seen a few people clap.
Yeah, you just see a begrudging of, you know.
Do you know what? As soon as I saw that, right? As soon as he had that shot, I was straight on YouTube to watch Tom Eames' goal against us because I thought, I've got to watch that again.
Oh, that flick over the head for Gillingham.
What a goal. Yeah. That was one
that
would
have been one of those few goals you'd think, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, but we don't want
to... All in all, lads,
yeah,
0-0 result, probably fair. In the end, we were lucky to get away with it.
We didn't concede. It's a point. They're the positives.
Move on to the next one, the big one. Oh, the pizza trophy. I mean, if I'm honest, I don't... Oh, hello. I know Ipswich...
They're even hyping up the big one with that drum roll.
I know Ipswich made quite a few changes. Pompey still went fairly strong, didn't they, in that game?
Yeah, so did we. To be honest, if you look at some of the players in that 11 for Ipswich, they had Wolfenden, they had Edmondson, they had Harness, Burns played in that game as well. Like, quite a few of their starters played in that game. I was surprised by how strong they went. Like, whereas we, you know...
Pinucci Kamara.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a lot of that starting 11 that you'd normally expect for Ipswich played in that game, whereas we put out Oliver Yamey, we put Freeman out. you know, we also went with a fairly strong side. The two sides were fairly well matched in terms of how many changes were made. Obviously, Ipswich fans are trying to cover it off, saying, well, we made loads of changes. So did we.
You think what?
Tunnicliffe, Freeman and Olawoyemi start every week, do you?
They also won the league, didn't they, a lot longer?
They did. I will say that's probably one of the lowest away attendances I've been a part of.
200, wasn't it?
240 yeah. of us yeah. went.
I actually don't think there was 240 in there because of the coach crash, was there?
Yeah, of course. Shout out to Banksy's coach, which got involved in a collision on the A12 just outside Colchester.
I mean, you almost did, didn't you, on the way up?
To be honest, the A12's always a nightmare. Because of how many towns it passes by and it's the only road in and out, you always get the concertina effect of going 70 down to 10, up to 70 down to 10. It's a real nightmare of a road. I very nearly got into a crash that same night by Colchester on the A12. In fact, I could probably pinpoint the exact junction where Banksy's coach got into a collision because, you know, me and my car, which is not a big coach, I had to be really quick on the brakes to be aware of when it was dramatically stopping. So, yeah, shout out to those that unfortunately missed the game. Fortunately, no one got hurt, but the coach obviously took a bit of damage. They didn't make the game. But the good news is they're all right. But, yeah, very, very small away attendance for obvious reasons. You know, it's Ipswich is 3 hours away on a Tuesday night and there's a World Cup on.
Yeah, fair play. I mean, the result, I mean, I wasn't paying attention because I was busy doing other things, but, you know, trying to keep an eye on the game. I was a bit shocked to see the result, Jeff. But chuffed to see Scarlett actually, you know, get on the score sheet.
I can see your lips moving. This band's had more comebacks than Rocky Balboa.
What I was saying, Jeff, I wasn't really keeping an eye on the game, but I was keeping an eye on the result. But I was shocked to see Scarlett on the score sheet, but kind of chuffed at the same time. It's been coming,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think Danny Nicky obviously realised that he was never going to play in the FA Cup. Pickett obviously couldn't play. So it was an ideal game to rest Bishop, although, you know, Bishop come on later. And he nearly scored from the halfway line, didn't he?
He tried one. It was a good effort.
Yeah, I think it was going slightly wide. I think it was always going wide.
I think
he
was going to drop wide at the post. But speculative.
But look, you know, it's a great result. More money in the coffers for hopefully future transfers or wages. I think the total amount we've amassed so far in the cup competitions will pay a player $4,000 a week on a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
For a team like Pompey, that 400-odd K that we're due to bank with cup runs and the World Cup money for Joe Morel, that's a great injection boost. And if you can free up some wages by, you know, maybe Freeman, Tunnicliffe leaving as well, that brings in two quality players into that starting lineup. So winning against Ipswich was a fantastic result in the end.
And also good for Swanson to get on. And what a finish as well. Play him up top.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was actually... If you look at the numbers from the outset on a surface level, you'd probably think, how on earth have we won that? I was actually really impressed with us Tuesday. In the first 10-15 minutes, I thought we were in for a battering because Ipswich were getting around the outside of us, getting behind us. Olawoyemi had two free saves to make early on and thought, oh my God, we're going to be in for a long one here. And then about 20 minutes in, we solidified the defence. Ipswich still had possession. They still had possession in our half. They still had it the lion's share of. But we stopped them getting clear-cut chances on goal. At some point, we shored up the defence. For the amount Ipswich had the ball, we didn't look scared in defensive posture. We kept them at bay rather well. And then we started to be effective on the transition. Getting the ball into the feet of Dale, who'd carry it 40, 50 yards up the field. Getting behind the Ipswich back three. We created chance after chance on explosive turnovers, pressing the Ipswich back three, who for some reason were not comfortable on the ball at all. Edmondson giving the ball away at the back. Wolfenden giving the ball away at the back. I really enjoyed this Tuesday because for the amount of possession Ipswich had and near our box, after 20 minutes or so, so for the final 70 minutes, we looked really solid. And that was some of the best football we've played on the counter-attack that I've seen all season. Against what are good Ipswich players, the Scarlet goal's really well worked from him. Now, the Scarlet goal's about 40 minutes into the match. Between that goal and half-time, we had another two one-on-ones. We could have gone in 3-0 up at the break.
Yeah.
We have more chances up in the second half, again on the breakaway to make it more comfortable. In the end, it's good work from Caroma and Swanson to make it 2-0. But for the amount that we were without the ball, I was impressed with us defensively. And on the turnover, we were just lightning quick and getting behind that back real time. I thought we set up really well with the altered formation. Probably want to, you know, I get people want to see us have more of the ball and be a bit more present on the ball, but what we did Tuesday worked to perfection. So I'm not going to complain about driving 3 hours to Ipswich to watch us have 25% possession when we break as well as we did and we come away with a 2-0 win against what was a good Ipswich team.
Yeah, that Ipswich team that started Tuesday would be a top six side in the, you know, still a top six side,
yeah,
in the league. They're probably the strongest team in this division. And, you know, Ipswich fans giving it the big one about, oh, well, we made so many changes. They would not complain if those players started in a league match.
No. And I did see a few comments on social media. Like, I would expect after a win, no matter what competition it's in, some people might actually be happy for 5 minutes, but no one cares, do it in the league. But games like this help you in the league, surely, for confidence in the squad and everything, you know, and form. You know, surely you want us to get a result and play well.
Rocky Seven's just starting.
I'm hoping you can hear us, by the way. We won't know until the end of this recording.
I don't think there's ever going to be a football game, no matter who it's against, where it is, that I'm going to go, I want Pompey to lose. I mean,
Jake Smith said that once.
Yeah, Jake Smith said that once. I mean, I drove to goddamn Ipswich on a Tuesday night for a Papa John's knockout game while there's a World Cup on. But I want to see Pompey win. And we got that.
Yeah, but that's because Scotland aren't at the World Cup. I'm sorry.
True.
I'm sorry.
Plus, I'm just a dirty little glory hunter.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm delighted we won. And I'm delighted that, you know, it'll be great for a guy like Oluwayemi, because he made a couple of important saves early on. He walks away from Portman Road with a clean sheet. It's good for Kieran Freeman, who had a nervy start to the game, settled in well. It'll be good for Caroma, who's faced a lot of criticism recently, who got on the assist sheet to set up Swanson. And we've won another football game.
Going back to Oluwayemi, he's really impressed me, Jeff. I don't know if you can hear me, but
he said Oluwayemi was impressive.
He's really impressed me.
No, he's doing well.
Every time I've seen
him
play.
You know, they are looking at sending him out on loan come January.
I wouldn't bother. You know what I'd do?
You'd start him.
Yeah, I would.
And
he's given me no reason why I wouldn't.
I think he'd be comfortable in League One, I really do. Now, he's probably going to be loaned to a League 2 team, probably. But that means we've got to bring another goalkeeper in. So you've got to bring another young Premiership goalkeeper in who's maybe fifth choice at a team to offer cover. But I'd keep him around the building.
100%, I totally agree. But yeah, I mean, anything else you want to add to that game, Ryan? Obviously, Ryan, you were there, so...
No, just impressed with the way that we were able to be under pressure for that long, settle into the game after what was a really poor opening 10-15, and then actually exploit Ipswich. Whereas previously at Portman Road, we've not had an answer for Ipswich. Certainly since fans have been back at football anyway. I know in the lockdown season, we were better. But since Ipswich have built this mega side, we've not quite had an answer there. So to see that, gratifying. And then you get the added bonus of what is a favourable draw. Not a guaranteed draw, but a favourable draw with Stevenage at home.
Anything else, Jeff?
No.
I've just taken my headphones off because I just wanted to know what it was like without... Obviously, I can hear what you two guys are saying quite clearly. It's quite loud in here, isn't it?
It's quite loud.
It's a good atmosphere, though.
It is loud.
Yeah, very loud. But good stuff.
I reckon we're going to go into the Creed series of films after this song.
We're heading into the Rush back catalogue after that.
Right, so Ipswich, that's that done with. We progress further in the Papa John's Trophy, which is great. We send our best wishes to Marcus Harders, by the way, who's out injured for 10 weeks. Moving on. How's he getting on, Ipswich fans? Anyway, MK on the weekend, FA Cup game again. Another good result. Like I said, you know, moving on from that game Tuesday, they've got a bit of a stride in their step, and we get a 3-2 win at home against MK Dons. Jeff, you didn't make that game, did you?
No, I didn't. No,
that game, but obviously, I'll come to you first, Ryan. I was assuming you were there. 3-2 win, two penalties. I've spoken to my dad briefly. I've been so busy. I've not. Let me just let her get this bit out of the way. Any more?
Encore.
Anyway.
But my dad's brief was definitely two penalties, clear cut penalties.
Oh yeah, both penalties. Yeah.
Second goal, he was saying to me, MK was a little bit sloppy, but fair result. We deserved the win.
Fully deserved victory. And
no,
I know people might start calling us penalty merchants. I have one very valid suggestion as a response to that. Stop fouling us in the box. these are clear penalties that have been given against us. Yeah, so stop committing clumsy fouls in the box if you don't want us getting penalties. What was odd about going 1-0 down to MK, considering we'd blitzed them for the opening 20 minutes or whatever it was until they scored, was that for how good defensively we were against Ipswich, their first goal's a travesty. It's one risky pass into Mingy, which he then makes an even worse pass out of unloading the ball. And then even with the back three, it's one straight pass through the back three, and it's 1-0. It's very, considering how well we defended for 75 minutes against Ipswich, to do that 20 minutes and against MK, you're like,
I saw people giving Raggett grief for that. But actually, when you watch the highlights back, it's hesitation from Clark Robertson.
Yeah.
And then, okay, you could argue Raggett could have done better, and he probably should have done better, but Robertson, for me, could have one side step to the right or tracked his runner. That ball's cut out. And Raggett, you see Raggett having a right go at Robertson after that goal's conceded. But look, we regrouped, we got straight back into the game.
Straight back into it.
Rico Hackett, he didn't lash that ball into the net. He passed it.
The composure was
brilliant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first touch as well.
I heard good things about Rico yesterday.
And Mingy did brilliantly to make up for, you know, his part in that goal. Yeah. It's a lovely floated ball over the top.
You know, Rico Hackett passed that in from, what, 20, 23 yards out?
Yeah, and coming, the goalkeeper was rooted.
That was a sumptuous pass.
Yeah.
And look, Jay Mingy atoned for his obvious error in the build-up to their goal by driving into the box, drawing the foul, getting the first penalty. And he was just a man on fire after that.
Yeah,
and
outside of that mistake, he was really, you know, good. Really good.
Jay Mingy is a very, you know, I would say, accomplished defensive midfielder when he has to play that role. But when you take the shackles off him and say, go out there and express yourself and impose yourself onto the game and play your style of football, he's as good as any attacking central midfield player coming from that 8 position. You know, not so much a 10, but that number 8 central midfield player driving through. And, you know, by driving through, he's drawing in 2, maybe 3 players from the opposition, which then frees up space elsewhere. So, yeah, you know.
I think it was after Forest Green, I said, we've got a couple of players in this side that can drag the team upfield with their passing. Mingy's the best player in dragging this team up the field on the ball. Like, just quite literally picking up the ball on the halfway line and taking it 30 yards. Or picking up the ball 30 yards from goal and bringing it into the box. When he drives on the ball, I'd like to see at the end of the season, I don't know if someone collates this information, the amount of fouls committed against each Pompey player. Because I guarantee, even though Mingy doesn't start most games, I think he'll still be top of that list by the end of the season.
Yeah.
His ankles must look fucking awful because they are constantly going for him. There was another, I think there was another two bookings Saturday against fouls made on Mingy. You go back to the Derby game, how many cynical fouls were made against Mingy in that game? McGoldrick nearly sent him into the shadow realm with one of the lunges he made. He didn't make contact, but he certainly went to do him, as the phrase goes. So it was disappointing to concede that one goal, that opening goal against MK, because by far the better side, the only side in it, we were getting into the box, we were asking questions. Curtis had missed a big chance a minute before. I will give him an honourable mention, though. He was all over the pitch on Saturday. He was playing like a man who was hungry for it. I'd also give a mention to Denver Humes crossing. Good Lord.
Oh, how refreshing was it to see him back out there?
The guy can put a ball in the box. Like four crosses in the opening half hour, finding their targets every time. And playing in that wing back system, so we played like a 3-4-1-2, Hackett in behind the two forwards of Curtis and Bishop. Hume can run that flank by himself, and he's getting up and down, and his cross, it's fantastic.
I've just watched the highlights back again while we sat here. What a goal that was for Hackett.
Honestly, the first touch to bring it down,
that was class.
He's basically, I know there are defenders either side of him, but they're spaced out wide enough that he's basically one-on-one with the keeper. And it's just a really composed finish.
That looks like a man that's banging 20 in a season. Yeah. That sort of finish. And bring that into the league.
What we keep saying, like, if defenders go toe-to-toe with him, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
But if you give him space to open up the left foot,
he
delivers.
Yeah.
And he's done it against
Saturday. I know we're quick to criticise our goalkeeper sometimes, but he made a cracking save towards the end.
He did. Big save. Yeah. When we turned off, The only problem we have with this system we've adopted in the past couple of games is when you play, you know, back five, back three, whatever you want to call it, and you play two up top, your wing backs don't necessarily have a wide man to go forward to, which means, oh, how's he missed that? Ferran Torres, we're watching the Spain-Germany game.
Marcus.
Ferran Torres, honestly, watch this back. He's absolutely fluffed it. In the second half, there was no one coming out into like a half wing position to give Swanson somewhere to offload the ball forward, so he's trying to play these risky passes back into the centre. We're turning the ball over, and that final 20 minutes, it was an awful 20 minutes in the end. Even Cowley said this in his post-match, saying we did not close that game out well enough, but that's because we get the ball out to the flank to try and engage the transition. There's no one going out wide to give the offload to, so we're going back inside. MK squeezing us out. They're turning the ball over in our half every time. Their second goal's poor defensively. How can you be unmarked when there's that many defenders in the box?
There's players on their arses.
Honestly,
we've
seen this episode before. Pompey with a 3-1 lead at Fratton Park. I started putting Milton Keynes in my phone for the sat nav. I was like, here we fucking go. There's going to be eight people at Stadium MK for a reason.
Well, I can't confirm he did actually do that.
That's the thing, because when those substitutions were made, when Hume came off and Ogilvie came on, social media was awash with announced draw, announced equaliser for MK Dons. Oh, we're drawing this.
They came mighty close.
And it was just negativity straight away. Now, if that was the reaction on social media of people who weren't even there, you know, you had to go. Unfortunately, I wasn't there yesterday. But, you know, how was that in the stands? How does that negativity then transpose itself onto the field, and therefore the players start to get edgy? They naturally start dropping back. Players have got this really bad habit of when they're holding out for the win, they just think they've got to drop back and drop back and drop back. And in the end,
are they told to do that though?
I think it's natural. Players would naturally just drop back to their own 18-yard box because they want to defend the goal and they want to protect that lead. But by doing that, it invites teams on. And we know MK are a team that like possession. We know they're a team that will work it from left to right, and they'll prod and probe. You can't do that against teams like MK Ipswich. You've got to still play that high line. You've still got to play those principles that you've had for the you know, 65, 70 minutes, that's got you into that good position, because that's why you're 3-1 up. That's why you're 2-0 up, you know, in those games. And, you know, by sticking to those principles, you don't allow them, when they're throwing the kitchen sink at you, they're throwing the kitchen sink at you from 60 yards away from your goal rather than 22 yards away from your goal.
Yeah, what was wild about that final 20 was that they were playing exclusively in our half. We had guys like Koroma on the field. Now, when you've got a wide back three like MK, Koroma getting in on his right foot is actually ideal, because there will be space, there will be green grass for him to exploit. We couldn't get the ball in his feet to go against a tired, exposed back three. So that final 20, it was this weird, going back to what Jeff was asking about, what was it like in the stadium? It was this weird juxtaposition between switching from, can you lot wait the fuck up, but also doing a sort of a Morecambe second half style of all the fans getting behind the team, non-stop singing, because they knew we were in a bad spot, they knew we were clinging on. I was like, right, let's just join the effort, get over the line here. And it was weird, because there was still so much space to exploit. We were almost playing our way out of making it more comfortable for ourselves, because we could have just sodded off down the field and ended it. But I don't want that final 20 to detract away from what was a deserved win. That first 70 minutes was really fun stuff to watch. The first half, we were fantastic. The start to the second half with the one goal lead, to play right through them and get, again, another clear penalty. If Bishop's not taken down from behind, he's one-on-one with the goalkeeper.
I mean, the second one was a little bit questionable, I have to say, watching it back.
Problem is, if a ball's being threaded through to you in the box and the defender comes in from behind...
Anywhere else on the pitch,
of course,
a tackle from behind is a free kick.
But, I mean, that it's anywhere else kick. On the pitch, that challenge isn't getting given for me.
But the rules are, you can't tackle from behind anymore. You cannot, so it's a free kick. Any challenge from behind is a free kick. So, therefore, he got tackled from behind in the penalty area. He got brought down, it's a penalty.
I mean, all I'm saying is, that was given against us, I would have been a little bit annoyed.
I'd be more annoyed of how we got into that position anyway.
That's fair enough. First one, absolutely all day long.
Yeah.
I'd be more annoyed. The positives,
Two good finishes from Colby. A really good finish from Rico, apart from the final 20. Even up until, you know, even with going 1-0 down, we shouldn't have gone 1-0 down. We were all over them. So for 70 minutes of that game, we were fun to watch. We were on top. And that was a fully deserved, if not scary, victory in the end.
Like I said, I was getting my pre-podcast brief from my dad, obviously, because he was there yesterday as well. And he was mentioning the wingers for MK were a nightmare when they come forward.
Yeah, Dan Harvey on the left is always a good watch.
Yeah.
He's got so much energy. He's one of the guys that can really get up and down and cover a flank by himself. I remember watching Harvey when we lost at Stadium MK last year, I think it was. And yeah, he's got so much on him in terms of legs. Rocky's back again.
Where's Jeff gone?
MK are always, like, I will maintain that MK are a fun side to watch.
Yeah.
But
still struggling in the league, aren't they?
Yeah, but that, it's all, like, their owners spoken previously about the financial problems at MK, their attendance versus their stadium.
Well, they've got more players than they've got fans.
Well,
exactly.
They sold a player for quite a lot.
Which one
but
was
the,
that?
The Twine money, the Twine money did not go back into the side. Scott Twine.
It's been a long time.
£4 million, like that. £4 million is no. That hasn't gone back into the. Oh, Germany leading!
Wow,
Rudiger.
There's no way that money's gone back into the side, because most of the side is still there. Like, if you look at the acquisitions, there's no way they've spent that £4 million. A lot of that money's gone to propping the club's finances up, which has left them in the lurch this season, because their best assets have gone. Yes, while they've still got a fairly good, like, with the team they've got on them, they shouldn't be where they are. I'll say that now. The team MK have got on them, they should not be in the relegation zone or thereabouts.
It's been reviewed. Has it been reviewed?
I mean,
it's offside. Yeah, it's good offside.
Oh, no, it's gone. It's
so
a goal.
MK are fun to watch, but once again, they just hate defending. They're allergic to it.
Oh, he's
off.
He's
offside. He's off.
He's off. Yeah. So I hate VAR, but on this occasion, that's right.
He is off.
It's the Germans.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, it has been rolled off.
Yeah, it has been.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Oh, it just sucks the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's offside.
But who are you going to give grief to when it's clearly offside, but they give it still? That's no fun. Get rid of it, I tell you what. keep us out of the Premier League as long as we can, please. I don't want to. I cannot. Can you imagine that at Fratton Park? Can you imagine?
The
oh
thing
my
is,
God.
If it's offside, it's offside.
Yeah, but like, can you imagine VAR ruling a goal?
Oh, you'd hate it.
I'd be, Fratton Park.
I'd be fuming. But again, if it's all, if,
I don't
it
know.
Sucks, but that's what it is.
No, thanks.
But yeah, while MKR, fun to watch, you can see why they struggle, because they hate defending. They're also pretty crap at it.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen MK concede goals by the transition coming out from the back three into the single pivot in the midfield, and they lose it at that point?
Well,
and
the last
is, yeah, it's quickly gone in.
In the last 3 years of their existence, quite a few times.
It's, well, but that's the thing. But they stick to their principles and they play the same way.
They do.
So you know that if you get your high press right, if you get your high press right, you're gonna have a chance.
And I'd also say for some of the things raised about Cowley recently, and we ourselves have raised them, and they have been correct about his adaptability to evolving game circumstances and the way different teams play, I was very impressed this week, because we've played two sides that will play a possession-oriented back three that will flood the midfield, that will seek to essentially suffocate you in your own half. I've been impressed that Cowley's changed the system, he's changed some of the players, he's brought in some players who would have more of an effect upon the game to, you know, drive through the banks like Mingy did, to get out into wide positions but quality balls behind the defence into the box like Bishop did. It's been a very rewarding week as a Pompey fan to win two cup games, especially if you went to both games such as I did. It's very good to get that return, and we have adapted and we've won both games as a result.
I briefly had a thought that Did he also look at the switch in formation against Ipswich? I know Owen Dale was played right wing back in that game, but yesterday, life without Owen Dale, what formation are you going to do? And I think if Owen Dale does go back to Blackpool, I do believe the 3-4-3 or the 3-4-1-2 is the way we need to go, with Swanson and Hume as the outlets on the wings.
Swanson's progression is extraordinary for a guy who, I'm not saying he had nothing, because obviously he was getting on the Arsenal bench and he was playing all of their Europa youth games, so clearly there's a guy there. I'm not saying there wasn't, but adapting to men's football is something that many players have failed to do, Miguel Aziz being a prime example. The way Swanson went from we cannot play him because it's too much for risk to essentially being a lockdown starter right now.
Yeah.
Like, a goal on Tuesday to seal things. A very sturdy performance on Saturday when he's basically alone on the flank. Yes, he had a bit of a poorer second half, but again, he had no outlet in the second half when we decided to make things hard for ourselves. But overall, his development is fantastic. And by the time Rafty actually gets back, I think Rafty will end up, you know, still going back into the starting spot, but Zach Swanson is certainly become, Zach Swanson's status has changed from development player to future starter. Like, he's no longer a guy you think about sending on loan to a League 2 club or whatever. He's not really out of his depth right now as a League 1 player.
He's going to be, you know, I say 3 years, but it'll be quicker than 3 years. He will be the starting right back for Pompey For many seasons to come.
And the good news is he's a saleable asset now.
Yeah, and if he does, and if we don't go up 2 to 3 years, if he continues his progression in the way he has, then I can see a mid to high end championship side coming in for him.
So a few people question, why do we sign him?
No, that you've got to give guys a chance like that to physically and mentally adapt to football.
A few people said that, and now I've heard a few people turn their opinion. Oh, please no.
You can't, because playing against teenagers in youth leagues and development leagues is so different to the blood and thunder of week in, week out grown men's professional football. It's so different, and Zach's taken into it really well.
Yeah, fair play. So wrapping up that game, good result. So on to the next one then. Next game for Pompey will be a trip to the fantastic place, only because it's got a decent bar during the day.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
If or when they bring in the added time on from the World Cup into league football, you know, you if you go up on the train, you're gonna have to book the train for 2 hours after coming back. The game should have finished. Because there'll be that much added time on at Wickham. Like each half will be
90 minutes.
Yeah, each half will be an hour long.
If I was going, I'd just pop off to the pub while the added time was going on. You know, just to waste a bit of time.
I'll let you know how it goes.
If you know, you know. Yeah, do it, mate. Treat yourself. Anyway, at Wickham then. Next one for Pompey. At 12:30 kickoff.
Isn't this a maelstrom of oh dear? It's Wickham on the telly.
Yeah. And it's an early kickoff. Don't bet on it.
Don't bet on the early kickoff.
Look at their last.
There could be two very disappointing games on that Sunday.
I mean, you know,
Pompey at midday and England at 7 p.m.
Going on form, right? Pompey have obviously bounced back, done a couple of good results in the cup competitions. Wickham have struggled a bit recently. They lost to Cheltenham. They beat Forest Green, but I mean, I can believe it. They're joking. I could probably be.
I have no idea how this is structured.
Just say, let's just ride the storm.
I'd hate to be living across the street because at 2 a.m. they're just going to start doing Led Zeppelin.
Oh dear. Anyway, but their results as of recent haven't been okay. Haven't been great. It's probably, you know, I mean, it's got to be a win for Pompey, surely. Not an easy place to go though.
The thing is, what I've been saying for a while now is that against high teams, against expansive teams, against teams that will want to come at you and break quickly, we are far more effective. You know, we played a good Ipswich side who are high and expansive, we got the win. We played MK Dons who are high and expansive, we got the win. We played Derby who are quick on the break, leaving gaps in behind, we got a draw. But then you play Morecambe, you play Oxford, you play Shrewsbury, you play Forest Green, you play Charlton. We get barely anything in those games apart from, you know, a couple of draws and a victory against Forest Green, which was as tight as it gets. Playing Wickham, we're not playing a high team, we're not playing an expansive team. This is going to be another stubborn grinder. That's my worry for this game. So we can talk about, should we win this game? Well, actually, Wickham are not too bad. I mean, they're mid-table. They're not that far off the playoffs. It's not as if their season's over. They're what, 5 points off the playoffs with 19 games played? They're still a contender. But we know what Wickham are, and we know what we struggle against. So we're in for a long, I was going to say 90 minutes, we're in for a long 135 minutes against Wickham.
Fergie time.
Because we do better against sides that come at us. And we're not going to be playing a Wickham side that's going to come at us. They're going to slow the game down. It's going to be hard to break down. And we've got to try and find a way through that. And recently, we've not found that way through.
Jeff, what's your thoughts on the game? Let's wrap this up quickly.
Exactly what Ryan said. They're going to be frustrating. They're going to want to slow the game down. And we're at our best when we're playing this high-tempo, ING attacking football. And we've seen that, our blistering start to the season, that's how we were playing. And then all of a sudden we start slowing it down, and that's not our game. It's going to be a frustrating game, and it's going to be, for me, it's going to be another Derby-esque, 0-0 type affair, and probably one goal either way in it. Now I hope I'm totally wrong, and I hope we come out of the blocks and we blitz them for the first 25-30 minutes. We go a goal up, and I know I always say this, we go a goal up, but then they've got to come at you. They're not going to sit back at 1-0 down. That's when the gaps will start opening up in this Wickham team. Because for how good they are about getting men behind the ball and sitting defensively and putting those two banks of four in, offensively, when they're going forward, they leave those gaps, and that's where I think the likes of Dale, Scarlett, you know, Curtis, if he's on the left wing, if we are going full back to a 4-4-2, we'll be able to exploit those areas.
There you go. And what's your pre-match prediction, Ryan? Since I come on home.
0-0.
Oh, wow. That's the first time you've gone for a 0-0 draw, I think.
Yeah, I've been a long... been a long time since I predicted a 0-0, yeah. But I see it's been another stubborn struggle.
He's usually not far off, is he? So what are you going for?
I think it'll be at a push a 1-0 game, but more than likely a 0-0.
I'm going to be a bit more optimistic, go for 1-1.
Oh, very nice.
Right, okay. Stretching with my battery. Features. I expect... there'll be, when it comes to yours, Ryan, I expect there's quite a few contenders this week, and someone did kind of like ask for dub ordered of the week, which we'll get to in a second. But Jeff, let's go for your third eyes.
Against Derby, Curtis Shithouse in the Derby corner taker on 35 minutes. Howan was about to take the corner, and Curtis was in his ear, giving him a load of verbals and you know, he had the classic hand over the mouth. It's half time, Liam.
Oh, shit, sorry.
The game's up. These are replays.
Liam, that was half an hour ago.
Good shot, though.
And obviously, in the second half, Pompey fans singing scummer songs to McGoldrick, who was aptly joining in, tapping his hand against his thigh. Then doing the old I'm falling asleep routine and everything else. And then a familiar face in the Derby dugout. Richie Barker was back at...
oh, bloody hell, yeah.
Richie Barker was back at PO4.
Barker out.
Oh, yeah. And against Ipswich.
Wow.
Only one, really.
Oh, feisty one.
The commentary team kept saying that Swanson was on loan from Arsenal.
I mean, it honestly doesn't take that long to look it up.
What is it, right, with opposition commentary and even just commentary teams on TV getting things wrong about our players?
MK Dons yesterday, Mengi on their social media.
Oh,
we had a new player called Mengi.
I mean, what was it on Sky the other day? There was one of the commentaries calling Josh Griffith.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
I think it once again highlights the level of the commentary team we have in Andy and Guy for a League One club.
Absolutely brilliant.
Like, for a League One club, they are very good at what they do. Whereas you go and listen to other commentary and you're like, this is awful.
I love Andy Moon. Oh, does he listen to this podcast? Oh, he does. Hi, Andy. Thanks for listening, mate. No, he's a good lad, Andy. The whole team at Solent, good commentary team there. But moving on, anything else?
No, that's it.
I have one contribution to Third Eye.
I've got one as well.
As it pertains to player names. Pompey's number 25 has had about 16 different names this season. On Tuesday, Ipswich, he got his 17th surname of the season. When he was formally announced as Jay Mingai.
Nothing would beat the Forest Green one, though.
And I very much enjoyed the Ipswich announcer's pronunciation of Josh Alubiemi when it was Josh. Anyway, also on the bench is... just fucking gave up on
the
it.
The best one, though, this season has been Forest Green.
Oh, Forest Green, Josh and the 12-year-old kid.
I thought this is a nice one. I like the there's a couple of things at the game yesterday that I like. Ronan Curtis coming out of his baby, that was nice to see. And obviously I've seen this quite a lot recently, Colby Bishop coming out with the ear defenders on. Obviously the kid was wearing them. I thought that was a nice touch as well. Davey saw that.
Yeah, what was the... I missed it. What was the...
So, I think, from what I've seen read before, I don't know if it's the same yesterday, but especially with autistic children, I'm just assuming that's possibly what... They wear ear defenders, obviously, because of loud noises. Like my little boy, we're getting him tested for at the moment, so he hates loud noises. So, I assume, obviously, that kid had to wear them for the day, and obviously, he's walking out with Colby, and Colby's thought, make him feel a bit more comfortable, which is a lovely touch, I think. Really nice. I love seeing things like that. So that's my contribution to Third Eye. Number third eye is Jeff has booked a pub where there's a bloody gig on a Sunday.
The music's normally finished by 7.
I'm joking, mate. It's fine. This is what makes our podcast, right? The first ever podcast we did, we sat next to a fucking hand dryer. Now we're sat in the middle of Glastonbury. Ryan, dub and dud of the week.
I might give dub of the week to this group for being able to milk this gig for God knows how long.
Sounds she was fine, dancing mate. On the table just a minute ago.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
A 60-year-old woman.
She had her clothes
on. I say
well.
60, but... Oh.
No, I'm joking, dearie.
Wait, she had them on or off?
Oh, you missed it. It's too late.
There it again.
Right, dub and dud of the week.
To be honest, I am scrambling for both of these. I haven't really got any clear standouts. Oh, wait, I do actually, because we got tweeted one earlier.
But I like the tweet.
Yeah, Mitchell Wardby, I hope I've got the pronunciation right on that, tweeted us early saying, "Hi, guys, I got married yesterday. Can I get a double din of the week? You decide." Now,
as you're low on numbers,
being a bastard, I might give him both.
Yeah.
Because he'll get din of the week for being a beg. And asking for a double dinner of the week should be enough to get you dinner of the week. He's also dinner of the week for getting married. But he's also getting dub of the week because he got married and he has his partner for life. Best of luck to him and hopefully what is a prosperous family in the future. So Mitchell, because I didn't really have any clear standouts before it, you can have dub and dinner of the week. You can have dub of the week for getting married, and you can have dinner of the week for getting married.
I'm going to throw a serious contender in, obviously, on top of that. I think Jay Mingy gets a deserved mention because the way he's
had a great week.
The way he's come through.
Well, great few games.
Obviously, fitness and everything else being, you know, not getting, he's taken his chances so well, and I can't wait to see more of him because he looks like a serious player. And what a find that is. Whoever's obviously counting. Yeah.
Well, you know, Danny Cowley wants to tie him down to a long-term deal, doesn't he?
And I'm not surprised. I'd be all over. He'd be one of the first names I'd sign up, you know. Great player. So I'd give Jamie...
We won't talk about the circumstances of his signing.
Maybe, I didn't want to mention that, but you've mentioned it. But, Jeff, have you got any other contenders to double deal of the week?
Nope.
You sure?
Positive.
Right.
Why, should I?
No, I'm just checking. Any other business then, lads? Anything else going on we want to talk about this week?
I'll check my notes. So I was going to mention the crash of Banks' bus on the A12, but we already went through that. So
did you like the memes, by the way, on Twitter in the week of the mask being removed from Gareth Southgate to be greeted with Kenny Jacket? Did you see them? That was definitely good content. On Pompey Twitter,
this is probably the first and last time this podcast will be on during a World Cup
and during a gig as well.
Indeed.
Now, thanks for bearing with us. Look, we could have quite easily walked away and done this another day, but we needed to get a podcast out. So, thank you for staying tuned. If you have,
although we do have a problem next week.
Oh, hold on, I've got another third eye. Did you see Pompey made it to a Footy Scran in the week as well with that horrendous cheeseburger. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think it was James who got a burger in the North Stand, and the bun is about two and a half times the size of the actual beef patty. But we are a generous club though, and I will not have any slander for this burger, because do you know how generous we are? We put two slices of cheese on that burger for him.
And James actually tweeted yesterday, after last week's Burgergate, can confirm they've improved their cheeseburgers a lot by adding bacon and hash brown into it. So
we've gone from that,
to that.
Yeah, and this burger looks a lot more appetising.
Improvement. But yeah, there you go. That just about wraps up, really. Anything else you want to ask?
We may have a problem for next week. On the condition that England qualified top of the group, unless I'm mistaken, the game would be at 7 p.m. Sunday.
Yeah, we're doing the podcast on a Monday.
Are we? Are we already? All right, cool. We don't have a problem next week, gentlemen.
Dinner of the week.
Dinner of the week.
Hey. Someone's not reading their messages. I mean, I'm an awful for that. But lads, all right, let's enjoy the rest of this gig. And thank you, Pompey fans, for catch you up. I'm sorry we've been away for a week. Like I said, we've been busy with life, but we'll be back for another episode of Three Lads in the Pub. Ryan, thank you, mate.
Thank you, folks.
And Ryan, you're not Ryan, you're Jeff. Jeff
Din.
The Muses. Jeff Harris as well, thank you very much. And thank you to the guys at the Shepherd's Crook. And what was the band called as well?
I'm not sure if this is a different band, but same when we walked in, it was Mama Bell.
Yeah, big shout out to those guys. It sounded great on a Sunday. Thank you very much, like I said, to listen to Three Lads in the Pub, and we'll see you soon. Play out, Pompey.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.